Good morning. Well, it's fall, and I looked several months ago, and it said my name was on here for today. So it's interesting that as I was listening to this morning to different ones talk, that somehow came across several things that's in this talk today, including some of the class. Brother Brian done the reading this morning, and I told him to read whatever he felt comfortable with, because usually my lessons don't follow a real good course anyway. But I'm going to, when I done the table a few weeks ago, I took some of the things that was in the bulletin, and I used them there, and now I'm going to expound upon them a little more. Listening is a skill. Not many of us have. Especially if you're married for a long time, you sometimes tune out or whatever because you think you've already heard this. It's not a very good practice to ignore your significant other. But it happens sometimes by default. One of the other things that we do many times, and I was deposed by the railroad back after my injury and different things, and I was sitting having lunch with two lawyers, and they talked about how they talk over each other, meaning they didn't listen about what was said. They were already talking. You cannot give an answer if you do not know what is asked. Because sometimes it's not always what somebody says, it's how they say it that gives you the ability to be able to answer. And we've found in this world that we live in now, you turn on the TV, people tend to just, they get a subject and they just yell back and forth at each other and argue and carry on. Well, that's not news to me. That's nonsense. Proverbs 18 and 13 says, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." When we speak, we expect others to listen to us. Like, I took the time to do this sermon. It's definitely not about me, because I'm going to use a lot of the scriptures. I am a talker. That's one of the things you will find. There are a few men in this world that do or are able to carry conversations without just yes, no, and what have you, because I have several men that I speak with that I'm the main part of the conversation because I'm able to carry the conversation. But I sometimes repair lawnmowers and chainsaws and weed eaters. And one of the hardest things is to get somebody to tell you, you know, if they bring it to you and it's not running, what happened when it quit or when it started running poorly? What was going on with this? And it's like pulling teeth to get an answer, especially if someone doesn't know anything about motors. But then you're left with this mystery. But you have to ask, and you have to listen to what the response is. A lot of times we tune out small children because they ask over and over and over. Think about your prayers to God. Do we not ask over and over and over? Is God listening? Sometimes we ask amiss, that's for sure. But here when it says, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth," well, if you finish your prayer, I'm sure God hears it. Then he makes a decision on that. Because he is always listening and he is always there. My wife and I's life is in just like a tornado since our son's life interrupts ours. Because we're very quiet and keep to ourselves and different things like that. And I told her, I'm not going to talk about us, but I'm just going to share a few things. Because, you know, since most of you really don't know us, think about it. Who in this congregation do you know the best? Most of you certainly don't know me. I bet you couldn't find my house unless you use Google, because you've never been there, some of you. And I might not be able to find yours. But we are one of another. We are the body of Christ. And one of the reasons we haven't invited people over is because across the street from us is a rental house. And I've had to call the police several times for what I've saw and what's went on over there. Yeah, I'm that guy. But it has to be pretty bad for me to call because I keep to myself. I'm also like the neighborhood watch because I'm always home. One neighbor told me that she said, we go on vacation. We don't even worry about our place because we know you're here. That's trust. They don't even know me very well, but they know that if something's going on, I'm not the nosy neighbor, but I will look and see if something's out of place, and I will make sure that people know that something's wrong. But when we talk about listening, it's one of the hardest things to do because we always think we know what to say. One of the things I found interesting about teaching here, I can ask 1,000 questions and maybe not get one reply. It's kind of interesting. Brother Stevens related, he thought he had to talk a lot. I said, well, I found out pretty quick when I taught here that I guess you guys are really good listeners because no one talked back. And I don't think I'm that great a teacher that I didn't need a reply, but it's just... Now, I've been in congregations where, as a teacher, you couldn't get a word in edgewise. And that usually told me that people were not listening because if you couldn't get a chance to talk, they couldn't hear what you were saying. And I've even heard evangelists at this one congregation tell someone, you cannot hear what I'm saying if you do not let me speak. And I've heard politicians and different ones do that before because we all think we know before the question is asked. Patience is a virtue. It's something that most of us don't have. Spend a week working on motors and you will find that either your patience will wear very thin or you have a great deal of it. Try putting a water pump in a 3.8 cylinder Dodge engine. Boy, I would not recommend that for anything. I've done that this week and it wore. I'm one of the most patient people. I don't get very anxious about stuff, but it took me a long time to do that. And it's 5 bolts, but it's very hard. It's not interesting. There's a lot of things you have to do to get to this because of front-wheel drive is a great thing, but also everything is crammed inside this little compartment, and you have to just move little things around to get those wrenches on and all these different things. Isn't it great that the gospel is so simple, that somebody as simple as I can get up here and speak to you, and that God has blessed us so much that he's given us all these abilities and the different things that we all have in common? And here on the listening in 2 Peter verses 1 through 12, it says, a servant, Simon Peter, a servant an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior. This is 2 Peter 1, 1 through 12. Have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God and of Jesus Christ. Our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whereby I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Did you hear what I just read to you? It said, add, grow. I grow a garden. Some years it's pretty good, some years it's not. This year I had stuff grow clear up in the peach trees and the vines, and they were hanging down. I had to take a ladder to get them down. But here's the thing about the gospel. It talks about the fertile ground. It talks about the not so fertile. It talks about the rocky ground. And we all have to decide which one we are and make a change to become that fertile ground where that seed, the gospel, falls and we grow. And it takes listening, because the gospel comes by hearing the word of God. Hearing. Not questioning. Hearing. And that is something that most of us have a problem with. Because here, when he says these things, you already know this. One time I was teaching a class, and it was in the book, I think in 1st or 2nd John or something. And in there, there's a word that says, and you know that you have this salvation. I didn't look this up. It just came to me as I'm talking here. But the question was, how do we know? Well, the answer is right here. Back then, I hadn't been in the church very long, so it kind of struck me that people that had been in the church a long time, they didn't know. How was I going to answer them? Well, I can tell you now, because God has told us that if we trust and obey Him and do His will, we have the hope of eternal life. And there's no questioning in that. It is the very fact that if we do what God tells us to do, and here it tells us that you can't be lukewarm, because when it talks about the church, it's lukewarm, and Revelation, it says, spew you out of his mouth. We don't get to a point and get to stop. You don't come into the church at, say, in your early 20s or in your teens, and you get to this plateau, and you're at retirement now, and you just quit. This has a retirement at death. That's when your reward is. From the point you come up out of that burial, the water, to the point till you go into the literal grave, you are to grow every day. And you are to be abundant. And you are to put forth an effort. And I'll tell you what, I have spent in my life, I've had a million stumbling blocks put in my way. And it tries me. And it tries our whole family every day. And it is hard. I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing. It's kind of like when, you know, when I was a kid and they put out a garden and you have to go out there and hoe, and it's like a half acre down one row and a half acre back up. And this is what you're supposed to do. And now I enjoy gardening, but back then I did not enjoy it. And sometimes being a Christian is a lot of work. You know, I've used this phrase before, and I've seen John Morris almost fall out of his seat. I said, life is not always a bowl of cherries. Sometimes it's just the pits. And it's true that Satan will put whatever he can in your way to keep you from achieving the things that I just read to you in 1 Peter. If it has to do with you listening so that you can learn something new. Remember, none of us know everything about the Bible. It is as if you were out. When I grew up in southern Missouri, we had that clear water, and if you turned over a stone or a rock in the water to see what was under it, usually it's crawdads or whatever, but you could actually see the bottom. It was like turning over rocks in a stream, is what the gospel is and the word of God. There's something new every time. I have never read in the Bible where it always seems like just the same old thing. I actually take offense to people that say, well, we've heard that before. Well, you haven't heard it from me before. And you haven't heard it from the next guy. The one thing that I said to Brother Stevens after his class was, even though it don't look like I'll get to most of the stuff I have, if he covered one thing and then I go over it, because I do have the latter part of Thessalonians in here, you get a different perspective. That's what mutual edification is about. And that's the thing. You don't have one person telling you something, and maybe it's what you want to hear. Because I gave a talk one time, and one family went out and kicked the tires on my car. I gave that same talk at a different congregation, and one of the people that was a member here later on, He was baptized because it answered a question for him. Boy, I could have told you 2 hours ago what his name was. Now I can't. And if I don't, here's one of the things that you may think if you tell me your name that I'm not listening to you. I actually have to really work at knowing people's names. I can read something and tell you everything on the page. But if you tell me your name, and even if I repeat it back to you, I still struggle with people's names. But it's just one of those things that's put there that it keeps you humble. Because if I was good at everything, then it'd take you away from being humble, wouldn't it? God has a way to make us humble. So in listening, and it depends on what we listen to. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Establish your heart. Figure out what you're listening to. There's a lot to what goes in. If you turn on your computer, all you have to do is type in a few words and you can have thousands upon millions. Your Google search or whichever search engine you have will say, "I found 400 million things about Jesus." Now, you could spend a lifetime reading that, or you could just open your Bible and find it yourself, which is a lot easier because a lot of it is opinion. It is somebody's opinion telling you what they think about what is in your Bible, instead of what you can read and get out of it yourself. If you're someone that says, "Well, I read this, I just don't understand it." A lot of people don't like to read. And a lot of people don't want an understanding because there's something wrong in their life that they would have to change for this to have a real meaning. Because the word repent simply means to make a change. It's like, okay, I'm going to change clothes, so I have different clothes on. But this means that I am going to change who I am, the direction I'm going in, and how I'm going to be as a person. That's a lot. Because if I've been this sinner, and I've been looking for everything, and I've been there. If I've been looking at all these shiny objects, looking for what it was. And I grew up as a small child, and I don't know how or why, but I could look up in the sky and I could tell there was a God. I didn't know what I was looking for until I found the Church of Christ. And it wasn't because I was basically involved in a Bible study with someone from Church of Christ, because they didn't tell me, "You just need to do this." They just gave me the evidence, and then I had a choice to make. Whether I wanted to spend my life in folly, or I wanted to do it in the service of the Lord. And that's how the gospel should be offered. It shouldn't be offered that this is my opinion, because even though I'm up here talking to you today, I'm trying to stay here as close to the gospel as possible and give you whatever knowledge I have upon the subject. But one of the things that we have to be careful of, you accept Christ, and one of the things that I have found throughout my life is it seems like people become very judgmental once they found this. I'm now a Christian. Everything everybody else does, they're going to hell. Do you realize that you hold within your hands a light that can illuminate them to lead them to Jesus? Kind words does more, spoken softly, than any word ever spoken in anger. When we give out accusations to people, we accuse them of things. Boy, you talk about something that'll turn off the hearing completely. The holier than thou will make people keep you at arm's length for now and sometimes forever. Because we got to speak without accusing. James 2:12 says, "So speak ye and so do." There's a lot in that. If you speak it, you need to do it. Because you have to be as you claim. "As they that shall be judged by the law of liberty." Here in Hebrews 13:5-8 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever." And we think about accusing. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that I don't like. But you'll find that just like in 2 Corinthians, when the brother had repented of what he was doing, even though it was an abomination, you know, this person was to be totally forgiven and brought back into the fold. And, you know, it's strange that I would hear people, this one congregation several years ago, would bring up something that happened 15 years before I ever showed up there. I could never understand that because I could never hold a grudge for a week, let alone for 15 years, and still call myself Christ-like. But always remember this. And if I get to this later, it'll be repeated again. It's Matthew 12:34-37. It says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So be careful what you say. Listen. Speak. Let your words be savored with salt. Make sure that when you are talking to others, that you take and consider their soul. Because that's what your job is. You have given this as your vocation. You know, in Ephesians it talks about, you know, you have an advocation, which is your hobbies. Now you have chosen this as your vocation. You may not be the evangelist who goes everywhere, but you may be the only word of God these people see and speak to. Are you a good person? Do you give without sparing? Proverbs 21:26, and this was covered before we took up the collection. I thought Jerry done a fine job this morning. Proverbs 21:26, "He that covenanteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." 2 Galatians 6:10. I don't know why. Oh, that starts. My printer didn't work. We had quite a time. My talks usually take me about 30, 45 minutes tops when I put them together. Had a printer that didn't work. Had to figure out how to get it to the other printer. It's a wireless, and my old computer don't send stuff wirelessly, so we had to send. Had my wife help me this morning get that done. Usually it's me helping her with stuff like that, but for some reason I couldn't figure out how to make it go there, and she did. So I have her to thank, or not, for this talk today. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Doing good. Listening. Talking to others without accusing them. It's hard to do when we see the many sins that people do. Yes, there are things that we see that are totally just disgusting to us. And it's hard to take sometimes. But if the first words out of your mouth are as like my cousin was when she had come there several times. She was a distant cousin. She was a niece to my grandmother. My grandfather had passed away and she was Church of Christ. So that was my introduction to the Church of Christ. My grandfather's name was Bob. Or Robert. I'm named after him pretty much. But one of the things she said, my grandfather had not been in the grave probably an hour or so, and we'd just got home. And she come in and told him, well, it sure was a shame that Uncle Bob wasn't going to heaven because he wasn't baptized. Although true, untimely. Not the way we need to know. It's just one of those things that, you know, and this was my first impression of the Church of Christ. So, you won me over. Because there were people that actually used good words about in the Church of Christ and weren't so judgmental. Because of one thing that I often thought, where were you every time you came that you could not say? My grandfather read the Bible every day. My grandmother belonged to every Baptist church in town because, you know, you became baptized to be a member there. But it was one of those things that it's like, why, we sing that song, why did you not tell it to me? And we go through this every day. Why we don't tell this? Why do we not spread this to others? Do good to all men, especially them of the household of faith. If you see someone in trouble, do you help them? If in times, because others, usually, you know, we can talk about how bad everything is in this nation. But you know what? This is the most generous nation on earth. When something happens, people come together and help one another. That is a fact. And the whole world expects the United States to help everyone else too. But do good to all men, especially them that are, of course, of the household of faith. And then 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19, this is something that I will not have to worry about. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. Then, of course, the foundation of most of this, other than the gospel, is pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24, it says, rejoice evermore. We went over these this morning. I won't spend a lot of time. But pray without ceasing. I have related to you the story of the guy who approached me after a talk one time when I said that I prayed on the way to work because my work was hot and dirty, hard. I prayed that no one would get hurt and different things of that nature. Asked for forgiveness. And he told me how that it would be so dangerous for him to do that because, you know, if you closed your eyes and bowed your head, he'd run off the road. Would he have to pull off the road? And I said, you know, you can talk to God any time. And I don't think I made that impression on him because he still felt like he, as taught as a child, he had to bow his head and close his eyes and Rick Sparks done the best explanation to this at a Bible school setting when our kids was young. Put your hands together so you're not bothering anybody else, you know, because kids are fidgety. Close your eyes so you're not distracted by the ones who do not. Sit still and keep your mouth shut. And close your eyes. Because the whole idea of bowing is to prostrate one before God, of course. And I'm not saying that we should always pray driving down the road, but, you know, it's pretty dangerous out there and it don't hurt. Every little bit helps along the way. It's like we buy insurance, not because we're going to have a wreck, but we might. Well, we pray to God, not because we're going to have something happen, just in case it does. Because just like that vapor on the kettle, as it talks about in James, your life, what is your life but a vapor? That is here for a very short time. And then it passes away. Because time is something God invented for man, not man for time. So if we pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. It's one of the things we pray for. These were covered this morning. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Remember, we come in contact. We receive that Spirit. When we come up out of the baptism or in the water itself, you come up that new creature, the Spirit of God is in you. the Holy Spirit. Despise not prophesying, teaching. Prove all things. Study to show thyself approved. It's in Timothy. Hold fast to that which is good. This one has always been one in the PC world, you know. Now, everybody's offended by everything. Abstain from all appearance of evil. It seems like people make up things to call on others. But this talks about evil. And evil is doing something that is actually evil. Abstain from them. Christians should not be named among... There's a whole list of things that Christians should not be named doing. So abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also, and these are very important, who also will do it. Jesus saves. It is through his blood that we are saved. In James 5:13-20, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him." I think this is something that, you know, we always think of this as the first century church, but, you know, I don't think if you're in dire straits, this would hurt. This is a good thing. I just don't think we use it. This is one of those tools. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one to another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way, and here it's talking about if you say something to them to bring them back, you can't convert anyone, but it's talking about using the gospel to convert them, talking to them, reasoning with them, listening to them, that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. The next is enjoy without complaint. And boy, this one is I think, as we are a very pampered nation, and each of us, we may not be wealthy, but in the eyes of many, we are. But when we look at this, it says in Philippians 2:14-15, do all things without murmuring and disputing. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And so, if we give an answer without arguing, Proverbs 15:1, soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. I don't know about most of you and your situations and what you are, but the one thing that I do know is I worked on the railroad for several years, and where we showed up for work, the office was on one side and the place, freight house was on the other, and I was a helper, and a train went through. We're on Peoria Street in Paola, and you wouldn't think, well, this would be very busy, west side of Paola. But, well, it was time for school. And I'm out there and by myself, and an airline brakes on a train. And most people may not know this, but the air is what holds the brakes back. If the airline brakes, the brakes go on, because that's what they mean by the engineer pulling the brakes. As he pulls the lever, it pulls the air and locks all the wheels. Well, as soon as this line breaks or a knuckle broke or whatever it was, and I heard it, and I knew people were not going to be happy, there was this really big farmer showed up right there at the door of the freight house where I was loading the truck, and he was quite angry. He was at the point of fighting mad, if you ever heard those words. And like I said, he had made two or three of me, because back then I think I weighed about 138. I mean, I could handle myself, but this guy was pretty big. And he went to asking me how I could move that train. Well, I explained to him, well, I couldn't move that train. It was going to take quite a while. Well, he had a child that was a special needs child that was on the west side of the train and needed to be on the east side. And how could we move it? Well, it can't be moved. I said, the only way is they got to repair that train line. That meant, since there was nobody on the back of the train anymore, they have this rear end device. The guy on the front, trainmen were never known for being in a big hurry. They were paid quite well by the hour and by the trip and by the ton and by the mile. Most people don't realize they got paid four different ways on the same trip, so they weren't in no hurry. But I talked to him and reasoned with him and explained to him all the technicalities of how this went. He didn't leave real happy, but at least he wasn't mad when he left or angry, and he wasn't going to fight anyone. But he realized, and I knew all that I say, because a lot of the guys would just smart off to somebody. And it's like, this is not, you know, this guy was angry. He had a reason to be. I sit and wait on trains. I don't like it either. But this is just one of those things. If we can stop a situation from escalating, sometimes it's hard to do in families. We don't control our tongues very well. But most of the time, if we can just say the right words in a calming fashion and not a defensive or argumentative way, you can defuse the situation. There are a lot of special people in the world that actually can do that. They are actually, you know, God bless the peacemakers, because, you know, they do a lot of good. And so this situation calmed down. It went on for about 15 or 20 minutes. Of course, trainmen had never made it to our part where we were, and it probably took him an hour or more to move that train. And his biggest argument was that his son was going to be late for school. You know, I said, I agree with you. I don't know what I can do for you, but I don't remember the whole conversation, but like I said, he left. He was no longer angry. So, and like I said, it was one of those situations where this guy was ready for something to happen. He wanted it to happen to me because he needed somebody to blame. And we run into that a lot. It's not just something like that. It can be out in the world. Somebody's angry at something and they want to find someone to take it out on. And, you know, you got a couple of ways of doing that. Most of the time you try to reason. If that don't work, he's pretty big. I could outrun him then. I doubt if I could now, but at that point I probably could. In 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I'm out of time by 5 minutes, and I do know that, you know, you can only give the head of knowledge as much as a seat can contain, because if I keep you sitting here too long, I'm going to lose my audience. But one of the questions I had been asked several times as a teacher, and the only reason that I think this question is ever asked, is because somebody had told them that this meant you had to be ready to give an answer to every man of every question they ever asked, was the way somebody interprets this. They forgot to read of the hope that is in you. You realize the answer to that is so simple, and it is so simple. Can you tell anyone the reason that there is hope in you with meekness and fear? I can very easily. It's that Jesus Christ died and gave his life that I have the hope of eternal salvation. And that is why I have hope. That is why I have faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to conclude here. But one of the things that we have to do is trust. In Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And if time would allow it, I'd have went into Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where it talks about by renewing of your mind and giving yourself as a holy sacrifice. I'll just read them briefly and then we'll offer the invitation. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The first thing you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's pretty simple. You can do that at this time as we offer the gospel invitation. Also, if anyone has anything they'd like to bring before the congregation, or if someone would like to place membership. But the invitation goes out from now to eons. It can be any time of night. You can call any member of this church, and they'd be glad to immerse you in the name of Jesus Christ, the God, the Father, and the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your time. I ask you to come as we stand and as we sing.